So the Dune, the Holy Letters of the Rebbe, in letter number 1072 in volume 4. And this is dated on the 29th day of Sivan Tovshindal, Brooklyn, New York. And the Rebbe is addressing this to the great genius with all the titles here. Rabbi Cheskel Shraga. And the Rebbe thinks, I mean, they point that it looks like it's Lifshitz Halberstam later on. So here the Rebbe says, in response to your letter that on Wednesday from the section of Baaloscha, and you're writing about putting in an effort as far as Chnos Eskala, that's, you know, helping, I guess they needed money for making a wedding or something like that. So he's asking the Rebbe. And the Rebbe responds with his participation and the expenses that are connected to Chnos Eskala. And the Rebbe wishes them that the this should be successful and good, and build a home in Israel that should be based on the foundation of Torah and Mitzvahs. And please give over my blessings to the Mechotonim, to the family members, with blessings of Mazel Tov. And the Rebbe makes a point over here that the Rebbe already utilizes this point to bring us expression with this far, Chnos Eskala. You know, in the morning, I don't know if you pay attention, when you say, there is a piece that we say, Eilu Devarim She'en Lam Shir, at the end of the Birchot HaShachar, on the end of the morning blessing, there's a piece over there from a Mishnah that we read. It says, these are the things that have no bounds, no boundaries, no limits, it says. And one of the things it says also, it says, Hachnasat Kala, to give for the helping a bride get married, you know, provide the financial support, Hachnasat Kala. But then it says, it ends off, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, which means the study of Torah is equal to everything. So it almost seems like if you go with the level of importance, the study in Torah is even more important than bringing in a bride to the wedding, because it says, notwithstanding the greatness of, it doesn't have a limit, but Torah is great, the study of Torah is great, and everything else. So the Rebbe asks, but you know that the law is that one would stop his Torah study in order to bring in a bride to the marriage. In other words, the halachically, we will actually disrupt the learning of Torah if it's necessary to bring a bride into the wedding. So in this case, it seems like the Chnasat Kala is on a greater level. The Rebbe says somebody asked him. But the Rebbe explains, the Rebbe gives a basic principle. So he says like this, he quotes from the Alter Rebbe in the Laws of Talmud Torah. The Alter Rebbe writes over there, what happens if it's not possible, what happens, you know, he's in the middle of studying Torah, then he has to go do a mitzvah, then he has to, you know, any mitzvah, he has to go bench the lulav, he has to go daven, he has to do other things. So the Alter Rebbe writes, if it's something that he cannot do both, or if he it's not possible to be done through others, if he has to do the mitzvah, only he can do it. So then the Alter Rebbe writes, you shall interrupt your Torah study, and you should do the mitzvah. You should interrupt the Torah study. Why? Because he says you have to, one is obligated to stop his study in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Why? Because if you don't do so, it turns out that your study was not for the purpose of doing it. You just studied just for intellectual reasons, but you did not really do it. So, which means, as Rebbe says, that you're actually losing your Torah. It's not that you're not doing the mitzvah, but then your Torah loses its level. The Torah's level is only strong if you're learning it for the purpose of doing it. And if you should not do it, so then it turns out that you didn't learn to do it, so then you have a lower level of learning. So when we say that the Talmud Torah is greater than everything, of course, it's greater. It could be greater than Achnasas Kala, but yes, it's greater than even the bride. But the problem is, if you're not going to stop for the mitzvah, then you're not going to, then your Torah, then there's a deficiency in the Torah. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes we find people who may be great scholars, they may be learned people, but then they don't go by what they learned. In other words, the Torah doesn't really change them around. When we study Torah, Torah is supposed to refine us, make us better people. You know, when we study Torah and we connect with the Word of God and we study the Torah of Hashem, it's supposed to have an impact, both in action for doing mitzvahs, but also supposed to refine our character. We're supposed to become better people when we study the Torah. If a person just studies the Torah for sometimes ulterior motives, let's say he studies the Torah, he wants to have a big name, that he's a big learned person, or he studies the Torah because he wants to challenge somebody else, he wants to just to try to find fault with other people, or whatever, are very different things. Now, the law is that one should never stop studying Torah, because eventually is the hope, and and we're certain that the spark of Torah will change the person's ideas around. So at the end of the day, even if you're learning Torah for the wrong reasons, you should still continue studying, because at the end it'll come around. But to begin with, one needs to make sure that when you study Torah, you're going to bring you into action, in both action of mitzvahs and also action in your behavior to people. That's why it's so sad sometimes to see people who are learned people, who are expected to be on a higher level, if they don't act like mentions, they don't behave properly, that's very sad, because it turns out that they're giving not only themselves a bad name, but they're giving the Torah a bad name, because you see, but the problem is they haven't studied Torah. One of the things about Torah study is it's not an intellectual exercise. It's not just a matter of intricate and figuring out things and just having a hobby, you know, studying Torah as a hobby, you know, because you enjoy the give and take, or you enjoy that. That's not the purpose in Torah. The word Torah means an instruction. It means it teaches you something. That is the meaning of Torah. That's right. It's an instruction. It's something to instruct you and to refine the person's character. And actually, they say about one of the great philosophers in the Aristotle, they said about him that he did something which was like very unbefitting to his, you know, to his teachings and everything else. You know, he went totally against everything that he taught, and they asked him, how could you be such a hypocrite, you know? I mean, you teach one thing and then you behave differently. So he says, now I'm not Aristotle. He says, now I'm an animal. He says, now, but you know, so he says, like, there's two parts to me. It's this philosopher, the intellectual, the brains, but you know, now I'm just an ordinary human being, and you know, and that's why I behave like that. So, but that's a disconnect. That's not the Torah way. That's not what Torah, that's what Torah is a teaching. Torah is to do. If somebody learns Torah and then doesn't go by what he learns, so that's what he's saying. There's a deficiency in his Torah. It's not only a deficiency in his not doing, then he hasn't learned well. Because if he learned well, then it would make a difference. Sometimes you find also in the Hasidic yeshivas, they put a little bit, sometimes more emphasis on the davening to daven, do the full davening. So sometimes there is in some yeshivas, like the afternoon prayer, they make a shorter version. Like instead of going through the whole thing, first doing everybody the quiet amida and then doing the loud amida, they will just go straight to the loud amida and everybody davens together. And it's done to save some time, you know, because the students are studying Torah. So I'm not here to criticize that custom, because sometimes they do that because it takes time, you know. But it almost seems like, you know, it feels like the davening, the praying, there's an interruption of your Torah study. But the truth of the matter is, prayer is not an interruption. It's actually brings out that you're, it prepares for that. That's it's part of the service of Hashem, you know, to look at prayer as taking away time. And we always said, you know, like sometimes there was like a weaker student in the room when you're studying, you know, and then, you know, some people didn't want to take the time to teach or to help him because they felt, oh, maybe I could, you know, study more, 10 more pages in the meantime, and now I'm giving away the time for, but that's wrong. You take the time to help somebody who knows less than you, and at the end of the day, according to the Tzemach Tzedek and brought down, you actually end up gaining a lot more, because it's like everything else. It's knowledge and Torah is almost like a business, so you can't count every day. I sold a few more products. I brought in a couple of more dollars now. If you sold a couple more dollars now, but maybe the next day you sold less, and you know, so it balances out. You have to go at the end of the week, or the end of the month, or the end of the year when you make a cheshbon. You see, you can't work every day exactly the same thing. The same thing is with your knowledge of Torah study, because you may think now that you're wasting a little time, but then it may help you later on. So in the subtotal, you don't end up losing for helping somebody. You don't end up losing out, even in your own knowledge, what you think that you might have gained, you don't end up losing. Actually, you end up gaining at the end from helping another person. That's helping another person, that's doing studying, and that's also doing the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are a natural result of the study of Torah. That makes your Torah on a higher level. So the very righteous people, they're great geniuses. They didn't lose anything of their scholarly level. They didn't lose anything of their ability to learn and articulate Torah. On the contrary, they are the greatest geniuses. And so I guess this is the message over here too, that if you need to help somebody who needs some tzedakah, needs to get married, and you help it, don't worry about your Torah study. Take a break from your Torah study. Help the other person. And this is essentially, I'm going now, this is essentially the philosophy of Chabad. Because in most circles, generally, in most circles, you know, they have this study of the kollel. They go, like, for years, instead of going to work, instead of doing something, they sit in the study the whole time. I'm not saying, for the few selected, yeah, we always need some people to continue studying, and the, you know, selected special dedicated or minds that are just good at that. Yes, we need that too. We need think tanks. We need people that are involved in the higher level. But we're talking about the average Joe Schmo over there, you know, the average guy. You know, for most of us, we have to go ahead and make a difference in the world. So in Chabad, you study for a little bit, 1 year maybe, and then you go out and you do some good for the world, for your family, for yourself, for the world. You do something about it. You don't just sit and study the whole time. So it's not an interruptive, you study. It's just an outcome. That means that when you studied in yeshiva and the knowledge that you gained, now you're sharing it, now you're implementing it, versus to continue to learn. It doesn't mean, of course, you may take time out to learn, or whenever you can, you continue to study, but then you're also doing some other things as well. So that's basically the idea of doing, and also from that.